Shall we look at the Lord's dismissal of his spirit? He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. John 19 and verse 30. The gospel according to John is written for the church, primarily so. John writes from a different viewpoint than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He shows that everything to do with the cross of our Lord and Savior was God-governed and according to his foreordained determination. He presents the Lord Jesus as God. The Word was God. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Everything is done for the glory of God, and that transcends all local matters. That is the reason for 7 great events in the life of the Lord Jesus, which John does not record, as they have to do with his humanity. John does not record his birth, his baptism, his temptations, his transfiguration, his last supper, his agony in the garden, and his ascension. There's a great cleavage between John and the other 3 gospel writers. For instance, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, our Lord is in an agony in Gethsemane's garden. And he fell on his face, Matthew 26:39. He fell to the ground, Matthew 14 and verse 34. He kneeled down and prayed, Luke 22:41. In John, Jesus stands, and his enemies fall to the ground before the revelation of his deity when he said, I am, John 6:18 and verse 6. Gethsemane is a place of agony in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but in John it is a garden. John 18 verse 1. And a throne from which he reigns. Now there are 3 matters mentioned, among other things, in this chapter which manifest his godhood. First of all, the superscription. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, John 19 and verse 19. At this point of time, the Jews were putting tremendous pressure on Pilate, threatening to report him to Caesar. These words are Pilate's retaliatory and bitter scorn of the Jews. The scorn was that Jesus was not only their king, but Jesus of Nazareth. And the Jews had a proverb, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? John 1:46. In effect, Pilate was pointing to the one hanging on the cross, bruised beyond recognition, a condemned criminal, and tauntingly saying to the Jews, this is your king, you Jews. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not to the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. They wanted to set him forth as an impostor, but in his utter contempt for the Jews, Pilate answers, what I have written, I have written. It was devastating to Jewish pride, but Pilate would not be moved. The superscription must stand for all to see and read, since it was in the 3 current languages of Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And why was Pilate unmoved by the Jews? Because God was governing in the cross. The Lord Jesus was Israel's God-appointed king. And they have yet to see in our Lord's return to earth that kingship written on his vesture for all to see. King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19 and verse 16. And again, we see his selfless love in the cross. Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. John 19:26 and verse 27. The cross is not all bitterness. Here is a sweet and loving incident. While our Savior hung upon that cruel tree, Mary, with other women, was standing there, and the sword was piercing her heart, as Simeon said it would. In the midst of all his inconceivable suffering, in bearing and absorbing the punishment for all the sins of his people, the Lord could even think of others. Seeing John standing there with Mary, and remembering her sons by Joseph, were not yet believers, John 7 and verse 5, and that Mary could receive no spiritual comfort from such sons and daughters, he said to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he gave John the responsibility of caring for Mary. "Behold thy mother." This is utterly incomprehensible. The Lord is here wrestling with the extremest pangs of pain. His body weeps blood from the savagery of the scourging. His beard is plucked out from his cheek. The crown of thorn pierces his brow. The wrath of God is poured out upon his holy head for all the sin he is bearing on our behalf. Yet he can think of others at such a time. Had he been only man, he could never have done so. In any extremity of physical pain, man can only think of himself. But here is deity. And in the midst of overwhelming and infinite sorrows, he could think of others and make provision for their comfort and care. Then we view his supernatural control. Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, how did he know? Because he was the omniscient God. Everything was running to a divine schedule. Every detail of predetermination was being fulfilled. There remained but one more prophetic utterance to be so. That also our Lord knew and so fulfilled it in the words, "I thirst," that was spoken of in Psalm 69:21. "And they gave also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." The Lord refused the gall, a drug to mitigate pain, but he received the vinegar and drank it for his thirst. With all prophecies fulfilled, the Lord now cried, "It is finished." One word in the Hebrew, tetelestai. All typical institutions and all verbal predictions were complete. All penalties of the law had been endured. All the work of redemption was finished. All the ground was cleared to give God the right to pardon repentant sinners. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That is, he pillowed his head in perfect rest upon his breast and dismissed his own spirit. No man took his life from him. He laid it down on our behalf. Oh, wondrous cross! Great interpreter of God's heart to man, scene of God's self-revelation and manifestation to man. Oh, wondrous cross, let it pour light into your soul, my friend. Let it break all your bands. Let it heal all your wounds. Let it dry all your tears. Listen to the words of Johann Hermann, translated by Mr. Bridges. "Ah, holy Jesus, how hast thou offended, that man to judge thee hath in hate pretended, thy foes derided, by thine own rejected, O most afflicted. To the good shepherd for the sheep is offered, the slave that sinned and the son hath suffered, for man's atonement, while he nothing heedeth, God intercedeth. For me, kind Jesu, was thine incarnation, thy mortal sorrow, and thy life's oblation, thy death of anguish, and thy bitter passion, for my salvation. Therefore, kind Jesu, since I cannot pay thee, I do adore thee, and will ever pray thee. Think on thy pity, and thy love unswerving, not my deserving. Beautiful, beautiful words. Amen and amen.